99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And stay tuned for Back of the Book, which comes your way right now.
Yeah. The programming is sponsored by WBAI listeners in support of WBAI's Emergency Tower Fund Drive.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all Bah Humbug Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can go up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, and look around up there, and you'll see a little bit more about what we're going to talk about. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen, and at the top of that, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you'll get to the web page for tonight's program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 71st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top story in the whole universe of this past week is we have rocketed all the way up to 118 followers on Twitter. The whole world is just a tremble at that tremendous number. The next WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on January 4th, 2022, but it will be an executive session, quote, to discuss personnel matters, unquote, so you won't be able to hear it. The next WBAI local station board meeting that you will be able to hear all the thrilling details of will be held on January 12th, 2022 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We're supposed to elect WBAI's directors to the Pacifica National Board at that meeting, and we'll see what else comes up at it. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 278,754,737 on Friday, and global deaths reached 5,391,371. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 51,914,072, and the death toll in America was officially at 816,275. So, officially, 11,021 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death rate is significantly higher than last week's. It's like 2,000 more. And, of course, we know that all of these numbers are undercounts and, in a lot of cases, very serious undercounts of both the morbidity and mortality rates here. So, got to keep that in mind. It's even worse. The Omicron variant is not showing up as a real killer here so far, but there has been at least one death that was certainly caused by the Omicron variant, and I'm sure that there will be more coming soon. This thing can really go through a population. It's amazingly infectious. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. There are various predictions going around about the future mortality statistics of this disease. There are predictions regarding when the total number of dead from COVID-19 in America will hit the 1 million mark. So I don't know when it's going to hit there, but yeah, it looks, you know, at 816, and 6 weeks earlier it was significantly lower than that. Yeah, we're going to hit 1 million at some point here unless something very fortuitous happens. Pickles of the North and I are quite aware that the statistic that says that 1% of the people 65 and older in America have already died of COVID-19, and that at least 3/4 of the 816,000 plus people who've died of COVID-19 in America have been elderly, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And we know it applies to us because we're both in that over 65 thing now. We're still pretty much locking down these days at the Martin Mance. Places that had been opening up are now trying to mitigate the infection rates. Various cities, municipalities, states, and while not necessarily just doing a 180-degree reverse of what they had done a couple of weeks ago, a lot of them are looking to try and do something about the growing numbers. One example of this kind of thing that's going on all of a sudden, owing to people saying, oh, it's all over, and then the Omicron variant showing up, Mayor de Blasio had the annual Times Square New Year's celebration opening up and happening again. It was all going to be going on. And now he's limiting it to only 15,000 people. And they all have to be vaccinated. And they all have to wear masks. Yeah, that's going to work out. You know, all those people, many of whom are drunk or loaded in some other way, are showing up for this thing. Some of them travel from far away. A lot of them are younger and really have an idea of, oh, this is a big thing. I should really get in on this. And whoopee, maybe people will see me in Times Square. There's no hope of that. And so, you know, all of that. And yeah, they're all going to wear masks during this thing. And everybody's going to show up and show a valid vaccination card. Oh boy, the police are going to have quite a lot of fun trying to deal with this thing. And, of course, nobody's going to show up with a fake counterfeit vaccination card or anything like that. No, not that. And plus, of course, a lot of the time you can use something on your phone. If you flash your phone, well, how? You know, that kind of thing can also be faked. Oh, well. Oh, well. Anyway, you know, the smart thing would have been to just cancel the New Year's event in Times Square entirely as they did last year. Because, you know, we're talking about people dying here. but I'm sure that there are moneyed interests that really want this to happen. There is money bet on this event happening and in various ways making money for some people. And so, yeah, de Blasio is certainly not one to put principle and people's lives in front of deals with pals to make money. And in other news of this disease, John Parney, who owned the Quincy Diner in Quincy, Michigan, kept his restaurant open in 2020 in violation of the Michigan Health Department's partial shutdown affecting dine-in businesses. Mr. Parney said that he and his wife, who is battling cancer, quote, depend on this restaurant to help subsidize billing and all of that. My employees need that. Of course, if I'd have stayed closed much longer, I'd have lost the business, unquote. He also said, quote, you do get flack from a lot of people that lean the other way, that you ought to be closed. They don't understand that I lost $250,000 the first time around in spring of 2020. I'm not a rich man at all. I need this place to run, unquote. He said that a lot of prayer went into his decision to stay open in defiance of the health department's mandate. Mr. Parney died of COVID-19 last week. And in other news of the disease and what's happening with people. As we mentioned before, there are requirements to show your vaccine card or equivalent to get into the Times Square New Year's celebration. And there are other things that require that you show up with all of that and the vaccination card. Well, Oakboro, North Carolina Town Police Chief T.J. Smith has been placed on unpaid administrative leave for 2 weeks. He had been telling his cops how to get phony vaccine certificates. And they're going to let this guy who's helping counterfeiting going on, they're going to let him keep being not just a cop, but the chief of police? Well, I don't know, maybe Oakboro has like three cops. Maybe this is Mayberry RFD and, you know, he doesn't want to leave Barney Fife in charge of the police department. But Jesus Christ, this is terrible stuff, and this is quite a decision by this guy. And man, oh man, he's only getting suspended for 2 weeks. I mean, do they do that for all counterfeiting operations? Jesus Christ, man. So that shows you how in some places, especially in the South, where they don't like vaccinations and where they've got huge numbers of people getting infected, they behave all the way up to the chief of police facilitating counterfeiting and fraud.
Oh, my goodness. If that had happened here, that cop would have been arrested.
Well, we hope he would be. And continuing on with the COVID-19 pandemic, Merck has been granted emergency use authorization for a second antiviral pill used to treat COVID-19, and it's called molnupiravir. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but there it is, molnupiravir. And so that's another good thing. These pills that are coming up can make it so that maybe they could save some people's lives. I wonder if the anti-vaxxers are also going to be against these pills. Hard to tell because, of course, anti-vaxxers are irrational. So that's something going on there. And I think that maybe Donnie Bonespur Trump is concerned that a lot of his voters from 2016 and 2020 aren't going to be around to vote in 2024 to vote for him, and they may not even be around for the midterm elections in 2022. He said, quote, the vaccines work. The ones who get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine, unquote. Oh, man, this is like, kind of different from let's do hydroxychloroquine and see if we can squirt some bleach into people's lungs. He has also reportedly gotten himself a booster shot. He's looking out for himself, all right. A bunch of his anti-vaxxer cuckoo MAGA supporters booed him when he said people should get vaccinated recently. And he's still against vaccine and mask mandates, however. Yeah, you know, administering things, not his strong point, as we saw. Some of the other right-wing nuts are feeling a loss of solidarity with Trump, who demands total loyalty from others, but has never been loyal to anyone other than himself. Meanwhile, former Alaska governor and vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin has said that she would only get vaccinated against COVID-19, quote, over my dead body, unquote. Oh, after she croaks, are they going to vaccinate her? Well, I guess that might be how it would work out. And geez, what a total jerk. And this thing almost became, well, not almost. It was a joke candidacy, but she was running for vice president. And oh, man, what a big mess. And U.S. Army researchers have developed a vaccine designed to counter all coronavirus variants, but they have yet to test it against the Omicron variant. The Army vaccine is called Spike Ferritin Nanoparticle, and Dr. Kayvon Mudgerad, head of Walter Reed's infectious disease team, said, quote, "We decided to take a look at the long game rather than just only focusing on the original emergence of SARS and instead understand that viruses mutate," unquote. And there's no projected date for when this vaccine might be available. This could be quite the game changer here if the Army can find something that works against the SARS virus. And they're actually looking at SARS-CoV-1 as well. You remember years and years ago, the SARS virus came about and it caused problems. And COVID-19 is caused by SARS-CoV-2. And so this is quite a development, and if the Army can bring this about, that will make it so that we probably will be able to stomp out this disease quite a bit. And I don't know when it's going to be done. They're still looking at, you know, when they're going to be able to release it. They haven't tested it against Omicron. Plus, of course, they have to test it on people who've neither contracted COVID-19, nor have they gotten vaccinated. So they've got a rather small pool that they have to go for here to see how it works. And I'm sure it's a double-blind study. Some people get the Army vaccine, some people get a placebo, and they see who's left after that. But, geez, this would be a very valuable thing if it works out. And in what I hope doesn't become a related story, the World Health Organization is investigating some mysterious and deadly illness in South Sudan that has killed 97 people. The deaths from this undiagnosed illness have been mostly occurring among the elderly and children aged 1 to 14 years. The reported symptoms included diarrhea, high fever, joint pain, vomiting, body weakness, loss of appetite, and chest pain. Let's hope this isn't some horrible thing that's growing up and it's going to come and get the world pretty soon. Oh boy, it's always something, ain't it? And of course, this radio program is being broadcast on December 25th, 2021, and as we all know, this is the day when the world celebrates the birth of Isaac Newton. This is Isaac Newton's 379th birthday. Of course, we remember him tremendously for things like universal gravitation. He was the one who said, look, everything is attracting everything else. And that's why the planets are moving the way they are around the sun and all of this. And he figured that out, and he came up with the formula for universal gravitation, which actually works in most cases. It doesn't work in some cases because of, well, basically extreme circumstances. One of the cases where it didn't work, which got people very bothered in the 19th century, was the discovery that the prediction of Mercury's orbit was off by 43 arc seconds. 1/60th of a degree is a minute, and 1/60th of a minute is a second. It's called an arc second. And so it's 43 arc seconds off by any calculations using Newton's formula. And of course, Newton came up with the idea of how it had to work, and he put it down there. It was only after he had been dead for some years that a guy named Cavendish actually did experiments and came up with the first approximation of the value of the universal gravitational constant. They found that, you know, it worked for hundreds of years into the future, but not for Mercury. It was left up to Albert Einstein to figure out how that happened. And the deal is that gravity affects space-time, because Newton didn't have an idea of space-time. He had an idea of space and a separate thing called time. And he had various formula on other stuff that used space and time, but he never understood, as nobody could in those days, that space and time are not separate. There was only space-time. The guy who came up with that was Albert Einstein. And because Mercury is so close to the sun, and the sun has a pretty hefty gravitational field, Mercury is it has its time affected by the sun's gravity, which is like, wow, gravity affects time? Yeah, it sure as hell does. And anyway, so Isaac Newton calculated that. That's one of his really, really big things. And he also invented the calculus. Now, there are fights over, did Newton invent calculus or did Leibniz do it? And so there's back and forth, and they were fighting back in the 17th century, and some people still fight about it. Leibniz's notation was better than Newton's. Newton called calculus fluxions, by the way. He had another idea for it. And he had this long way of doing it, which is like really tedious. If you've ever done anything with it, if you've ever tried to calculate things in calculus using Newton's method, the notation that he used, it's tedious. Whereas we all use Leibniz's now. So Leibniz absolutely won the notation battle, but I happen to think that Newton discovered calculus before Leibniz did. Also, Newton did a whole lot of other things, including optics. He really explored light and how light goes around. He was the one who figured out, hey, look, when you have light going through a prism, all these other colors come out of it. Why? And he figured that out for the most part. And he came up with various laws of optics that are still used today. How a lens works. You know, if light's coming in here, it's going to go out there, and it's going to be at a different angle and all of this. He figured these things out. He figured out that a lens is a prism, and which also told him and others why on telescopes some lenses started throwing a lot of colors around, because the edges of the lens would act as a prism and throw it around. So there are various ways around that, and you know, people figured it out. Some of the deeper things about it, like the speed of light through glass is slower than it is through air, and that's part of what makes it bend. That stuff was something that had to be discovered centuries later, but he did that. On the other hand, his own idea of himself was not exactly what we would adhere to today. He was an alchemist. And he may have driven himself a bit batty for a while, because One of the things that alchemists tended to work with was mercury, and it is very possible that Isaac Newton was mercury poisoned by his experiments in alchemy. He really thought that stuff would work, and it didn't, of course. And, you know, there's this phrase, mad as a hatter. And people who made hats in England tended to get nuts after a while, and the reason being that mercury was used to make felt hats, and that's what they were making. So they had their hands in mercury all the time, and oh boy, it didn't help them out. Luckily, Isaac Newton recovered from his mercury poisoning after a while, but he had thought he was going to do great things in alchemy, but unfortunately he was going up a total dead end, because alchemy is a total dead end. The other thing that he thought he would be remembered for, he didn't think he was going to be remembered that much for his science stuff. Isaac Newton thought he was going to be really remembered in the future for his biblical research. Oh, what a tragic waste of time. And yeah, he did biblical research and wrote about this, that, and the other thing in the Bible. I don't know if even any of the people who believe in what's called the Bible or any of that, I don't know if any of them even think much of his writings in that area. Maybe, maybe not. Could be, but I wouldn't bet my life on that. And so he had all of these other areas that he was into, but universal gravitation, wowie, that was like a real mental exercise that he figured out. So we salute Isaac Newton on his birthday as we celebrate it. And of course, we understand that there are other people who celebrate other things, sometimes over fictional people who never lived. And so, in consolation to those who believe in fictional people, here is a song.
We have no chimney in our house, which all us kids regret.
So on Christmas Eve, we hang our socks on the television set.
I wish we had a fireplace like other little boys, 'cause I'm worried how Santa will bring us all our toys.
Up on the housetop, dear, oh dear, Santa will be confused, I fear. Clumping around with his heavy sleigh, where is the chimney, he will say. Clump, 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 what'll we do? What'll we do if he falls right through? Down to the rooftop he might fall. Down will come Santa, reindeer and
sleigh bells, toys and gumdrops,
apples, baseballs, clothesline, pigeon coops,
TV antennas, air raid sirens,
and all.
Speaking of Isaac Newton being a biblical scholar, there are a lot more what do we call them, chapters in the Bible than there were that have ended up in the Bible today. And the Apocrypha. One of my favorites is the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. Thomas apparently was supposed to be one of Jesus' brothers. I know if you're Catholic, Catholics don't go in for that whole, you know, Jesus and his brothers and sisters. It was just one miracle that happened, and that was the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, Mary never got humped by anybody.
Well, in this non-canonical gospel, Jesus was quite the scamp. It purports to be written about him when he was just 5 years old, and we'd like to read a little excerpt from it for you right now in honor of how many people celebrate this day, or perhaps in dishonor. I don't know. You take your pick, folks. Tales of the Israelite philosopher Thomas concerning the childhood activities of the Lord. Thomas, the Israelite, make this report to all of you, my brothers among the Gentiles, that you may know the magnificent childhood activities of our Lord Jesus Christ, all that he did after being born in our country. The beginning is as follows. When this child Jesus was 5 years old, he was playing by the ford of a stream, and he gathered the flowing waters into pools and made them immediately pure. These things he ordered simply by speaking a word. He then made some soft mud and fashioned 12 sparrows from it. It was the Sabbath when he did this. A number of other children were also playing with him. But when a certain Jew saw what Jesus had done while playing on the Sabbath, he left right away and reported this to his father, Joseph. Look, your child at the stream has taken mud and formed 12 sparrows. He has profaned the Sabbath. When Joseph came to the place and saw what had happened, he cried out to him, "Why are you doing what is forbidden on the Sabbath?" But Jesus clapped his hands and cried to the sparrows, "Be gone!" And the sparrows took flight and went off chirping. When the Jews saw this, they were amazed, and they went away and reported to their leaders what they had seen Jesus do. Now, the son of Annas, the scribe, was standing there with Joseph, and he took a willow branch and scattered the water that Jesus had gathered. Jesus was irritated when he saw what had happened, and he said to him, "You unrighteous, irreverent idiot! What did the pools of water do to harm you? See, now you also will be withered like a tree, and you will never bear leaves or root or fruit." Immediately that child was completely withered. Jesus left and returned to Joseph's house, but the parents of the withered child carried him away, mourning his lost youth. They brought him to Joseph and began to accuse him. "What kind of child do you have who does such things?" Somewhat later, he was going through the village, and a child ran up and banged into his shoulder. Jesus was aggravated and said to him, "You will go no further on your way." And right away the child fell down and died. Some of those who saw what happened said, "Where was this child born? For everything he says is a deed accomplished." The parents of the dead child came to Joseph and blamed him, saying, "Since you have such a child, you cannot live with us in the village, or teach him to bless and not to curse, for he is killing our children." Joseph called to the child and admonished him privately. "Why are you doing such things? These people are suffering. They hate us and are persecuting us." But Jesus replied, "I know these are not your words, and so I also will keep silent for your sake. But those others will bear their punishment." And immediately those who were accusing him were blinded. Those who saw these things were frightened and disturbed. They began saying about him, "Everything he has said, whether good or bad, has become an amazing reality." When Joseph saw what Jesus had done, he rose up, grabbed his ear, and yanked it hard. The child was irritated and said to him, "It is enough for you to seek and not find. You have not acted at all wisely. Do you not know that I am yours? Do not grieve me." Oh, shades of wishing people out into the cornfield.
Ah, yes, the famous Billy Mumy Twilight Zone called It's a Good Life. Oh, man.
Who knew that someone somewhere thought that perhaps gentle Jesus was acting in this manner? And that was a reading from the Infancy Gospel of Thomas in this, the Yuletide season.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at WBAI.org. And on a previous program, we were talking about the Next Generation Space Telescope, which is named after a guy named Webb who was a homophobe. We won't get into that again. We did a whole segment on a program about it. And we were talking on the last program about how the space telescope was supposed to launch on Friday. Well, guess again. The Next Generation Space Telescope had been set to launch yesterday, December 24th. However, they put the launch date off again. It keeps getting the launch dates set further and further into the future. Now it's scheduled to be launched later this morning, December 25th. It's fitting for Isaac Newton's birthday, of course. We arranged for NASA to not start their coverage of the launch until after our program is over. So at 6 o'clock this morning, when we get off the air, NASA is going to start covering the launch. And between, I think it's 7:20 and 7:54 on December 25th in the morning, they're going to launch the rocket. And, of course, this is very interesting stuff, and in fact, it's going to relate to universal gravitation because it's going to be at the L2 point, Lagrange point number 2. And gravity can be kind of an interesting thing, and there are stable positions where you can put things and they won't fall on, you know, move around too much. And Newton didn't discover this. But a guy named Lagrange, a French physicist, a mathematician, learned this. He figured out these points in gravity where you could have things stay. So L2 is Lagrange point 2, and the satellite, we're hoping, is going to go there. And, oh boy, there are 344 single points of failure on this thing. 344 things have to go perfectly right because this telescope is so huge, it's folded up, and it has to unfold perfectly. Oh boy, it's $10 billion. There's a big piece in the Times about scientists being very, very nervous about this. So, yeah, we don't like the name, but we really hope this telescope works out. It's going to probably discover some amazing things in the future. And Donnie Bonespur Trump is trying to get the Supreme Court to block Congress's January 6th committee from getting his White House documents. Now that it's in the Supreme Court, what are they going to do? They're far right wing, for the most part. Six of them are far right wing. And three of them Trump put on there. What's going to happen? This could be quite the horror story in terms of Supreme Court rulings. Meanwhile, more than 700 people have been arrested for taking part in the January 6th insurrection that had Trump fanatics attacking the United States Capitol in an attempt to prevent Congress from counting the ballots from the Electoral College. One Robert Palmer of Largo, Florida, has been sentenced to 5 years and 3 months in prison. Palmer was in the front line during the attack. He threw a wooden plank, sprayed people with a fire extinguisher, and then he threw the fire extinguisher at the cops when it was empty. Prosecutors said he then looked around for other objects to throw at the Capitol Police, who were defending the Capitol and were preventing the Trump mob from attacking legislators with murderous intent. This guy Palmer was pepper sprayed by police. Then he attacked them with a pole. He pleaded guilty to attacking officers. He was crying during his sentencing, saying, quote, "Your Honor, I'm really ashamed of what I did," unquote. He wrote a handwritten letter to the judge that said he felt betrayed by Trump and his allies, who fed them conspiracy theories. Quote, "Trump supporters were lied to by those at the time who had great power. They kept spitting out the false narrative of a stolen election and how it was, quote, our duty, unquote, to stand up to tyranny, unquote. And University of Kentucky student Grayson Courtright of Hurricane, West Virginia, posted online that, quote, infamy is just as good as fame, unquote. She posted that before and during the riots, the insurrection. She also posted photos of herself online, being there, and said, quote, can't wait to tell my grandkids I was here, unquote. Inside the Senate chamber, she was photographed holding a, quote, members-only sign. She was also crying when she told the judge that, quote, I will never be the same girl again. This has changed me completely. If I could take back anything in my life, it would be my actions on January 6th. And she got a much lighter sentence, but she got a sentence. Okay, it's time for our mandatory pitching. Yes, we got a pitch right here. We got to beg you for money. This is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And it sounds like it's just a slogan, but it's not. It actually is a legal declaration. We are sponsored by you, the listeners. And so how that works is that instead of running commercials that say, buy this car or buy this something else, we come on and we ask you to help us out by sending in money. And the way you do that is you pledge. And you call 1-212-209-2950. And when the person picks up at the call center, you say, I want to pledge some amount of money to BAI. And you say how much money you want to pledge. If you want to become a regular member of WBAI, then that is going to be $25. If you do $25 or more, you become a member of WBAI. So, yes, please do that right now. That'd be very helpful. All the programs are required to pitch at this point in time. And so what's happening is we're trying to get the transmitter fund set up so that WBAI doesn't get screwed up. We have fallen behind in the transmitter rental again. We have to rent space and all of this kind of thing for where we put our transmitter, and we use the antenna at Fort Times Square, and so we got to pay for that. It's not free. And so we fell behind, and we were actually in danger of being taken off the air, which I'm thinking, from what I've heard, is actually in the contract that if we fall behind 3 months in a row, we get taken off the air. We can't have that. And so what we're doing is setting up, I think, a restricted fund for this. And if we collect enough money, we'll put it in there and we'll have 1 year's worth of transmitter money, and we will not have to worry about not paying it for a year. And so we ask you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and when the person picks up at the call center, say, I want to become a member of WBAI. I want to donate to the Emergency Transmitter Fund, and tell them how much money you would like to pledge. And yeah, that's what you... That's the way it works. I don't know. It's really simple. And, of course, one of the things is you're also saying what programs you like, what programs appeal to you. And this is a way management has of telling which programs actually have listeners and have listeners that really want to keep that program on WBAI and really want to keep WBAI on the air. Yeah, there are some programs that have zero listeners. I hope we're not one of them. You can help us out by showing we're not one of those zero listener programs by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, I want to become a member of WBAI. I want to help WBAI to be able to keep broadcasting, to not get screwed up at the antenna tower. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. Or give the call center a call at that number now. We are handicapped. We're not in the studio. We pre-record this. So we're doing a pre-recorded pitch. So we can't see anything coming in. And I don't know if anybody can these days. We used to be able to do that, but now we cannot. Basically we're asking you to get up and go to your phone and dial 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money to WBAI for this emergency transmitter fund. And if we can get that done, I think there happens then is we'll be able to give a letter of credit to Four Times Square for the whole year, and they will take out a monthly increment from all of that. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call. If you could please do that, it would really be helpful. 1-212-209-2950. We seriously need to have people calling that number, and management has mandated that we do a certain set number of minutes of pitching, and so we're trying to get that in here. And yeah, it's all getting crammed in, and the program is getting a little bit pushed around by this. Yes, we are dropping a couple of things we had prepared, and I guess maybe to the next program we'll put those things in. But right now, here we are trying to get this to happen. We're trying to get you to say, yes, I am a listener to Back of the Book, and I listen to them at 5 o'clock in the morning. Or maybe you just listen to us on the archive. In that case, you really must say that you are calling in for Back of the Book, because otherwise we won't get credit for it. Why do we care about getting credit for it? Well, management's going to look and see who raised money. And that's going to, help determine who stays on the air. And, we don't want to get thrown off the air because we can't raise money. We used to raise a lot of money, but, that's another story. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. We do the science stuff. Nobody else is telling you all about Isaac Newton, I bet. And we do various scientific things. Last time we talked about, very briefly, a star, a white dwarf star that's throwing out material at like 7 million miles an hour. And we've talked about other science things. We talked about a little bit of science here today. And we talk about various other things. We have our takes on a lot of this political stuff. And, yeah, we are in favor of people being vaccinated. We're in favor of trying to come to terms with dealing with this disease, this pandemic. And it looks to me like there's really only one way to do it. You got to get vaccinated. You got to have masks. You got to just make it so that the fuel for this fire is denied. And the fuel for the fire is unvaccinated people and people without masks who are just going to catch it and pass it on. 1-212-209-2950. Yes, I know there are some anti-vaxxer people in our audience. And, sorry about that. I wish we could convert you all, but I guess you're not going to. Maybe we can convert one or two of you, and maybe it'll save your life. 1-212-209-2950. We cover political stuff, but everybody covers political stuff here at BAI. We're slopping over with covering political stuff at BAI. And so, that's a part of the whole radio station here is the politics. And it's not the politics that's all that very, we don't want to offend the right-wing stuff you got on mainstream radio and TV. And it's certainly not the stuff you get on right-wing radio and TV. And we tell you about things that they're going to be doing. On our next program, we plan to talk about coal whore Joseph Manchin of West Virginia. Yes, the senator from West Virginia is a coal whore because the coal companies own him. 1-212-209-2950. Yes, Manchin is, preventing any kind of any kind of legislation from going through to build back better, to do a lot of different things that need to be done in this country, and he's preventing it. In fact, the Republicans are now trying to get him to become a Republican so that they can then shut down anything the Biden administration tries to do. That'd be bad news. 1-212-209-2950. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from you to say, yes, I listened to Back of the Book, and yes, I'm willing to pledge some amount of money to Back of the Book. 1-212-209-2950. And this is our last program of the year, by the way. Our next program will be January 1st, which is next year. So this is our final program of the year, and we need to pick up some dough here. And we are not going to be pitching like this at the next program. This emergency tower fundraiser only goes to the end of 2021. So this is our final big pitch, and we need for a few people to step up and call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yeah, we want to become members of WBAI. We want to give in some amount of money. Now, you don't have to become a $25 member. You can pledge like $10 or $15 or $20, something like that. And that's not to become a BAI buddy. That's a different pitch. And we'll probably be pitching that next year. But right now, we're looking to make the money for this emergency tower fund. And so if you could spare like $10 or $15, that would really help. Because if enough people do that, it would really mount up and we'd have the money. And again, $10 to say you want to keep Back of the Book on the air, that would be not so much money, right? $10, what the hell? Although $25 would be even better, and it makes you a member of WBAI by calling 1-212-209-2950, and you become a member and you get to vote in the elections that we're holding in 2022. Yeah, we had some in 2021, and we'll have more in 2022. Good news, in 2023, there are no Pacifica elections. All right, 1-212-209-2950, and you would be able to vote for people who will keep WBAI going as opposed to voting for the idiots who want to give WBAI away to some cable access outfit in Manhattan. That's what some people want to do, and people have voted for them, and there are a substantial number of them on the local station board. Ugh. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call now. And when the operator at the call center picks up, say, I want to pledge some amount of money. You'll give a dollar figure. I want to pledge like $25 for the transmitter fund in the name of Back of the Book. And it's really important that you say it's for Back of the Book, because otherwise we won't get credit for it, and oh boy, that'll be a problem. 1-212-209-2950 is a number to call, and really, we need some folks to call us up there. 1-212-209-2950. We cover, besides the sciences, we cover old stuff that's gone on. I talk about things that happened 50 years ago. With the Gay Activists Alliance and my life as a gay activist. And we did all sorts of things. And I give you some history lessons with stuff there. A lot of this stuff is just no longer known, I think, because unfortunately the AIDS pandemic took a lot of gay activists out. And so there aren't that many of us left from the olden days. And so, yeah, you got that here, and you're not going to get that anywhere else. Again, please give us a call, 1-212-209-2950. If you could give us a call at that number, it would really help a whole lot, and we do need to hear from you. 1-212-209-2950. We got to hear from a number of people, and, oh, man, it's just not going to work out right if we don't get enough people calling in. 1-212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We got to hear from some folks. We got to hear from some folks now. And again, we can't thank you on the air because we're not seeing the stuff. We're not actually there. We're in our home studio, which consists of an old typing table, two microphones, and a Tascam DR05, which is like the lowest end audio digital recorder you can get. And that's our studio right now. And so we can't look anything up that's coming in. 1-212-209-2950. If you could call us at that number right now, it would really help us a whole lot. 1-212-209-2950. And you know, we're gonna be continuing to do the weird stuff we do here on this radio program. And we're going to try and meet your expectations. It's unfortunate that we can't tell if anybody's calling in because that helps us when we pitch, but we can't do that. So we just have to pitch and hope that you'll call in. 1-212-209-2950. And we're going to try and keep going with this. And if we can get people to call in, it would really help to keep this radio program on this radio station, and it will also help this radio station to deal with its chronic problems with paying the tower rent. The tower is four times square where we have a transmitter and we hook up to their antenna, and over the air, that's how you hear us. Again, you can help us by contributing to the tower fund, the emergency tower fund for WBAI, by calling in a pledge to 1-212-209-2950. And again, although $25 makes you a 1-year subscriber to BAI, you become a member, you can pledge less than that. If you want to do $10 or $15 or $20, that would be okay too. Also, if you want to pledge more, if you want to pledge a $50 or $100, we'd accept that. We'll accept that without any problem. 1-212-209-2950. They will really want to get that in there. 1-212-209-2950 is the number we're asking you to call. And if you could please call that number, it will help us a great deal. 1-212-209-2950. And we're going to end this pitch in another few seconds here. You could be the last caller for the year. You could be the last caller for the year to back of the book and call 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to pledge some amount of money for the emergency tower fund in the name of Back of the Book. We hope we'll do that, and we thank you. Ah, that's been it for Back of the Book. We'll be back next week, which is also next year. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. And if you pledged, thanks a great deal for doing that. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller, and then at 7, Ralph Nader Radio Hour.
Okay, take care of yourselves. Enjoy the time. There's all sorts of stuff, the bright lights and everything that's there to help you deal with the darkness of this time of year. And above all, remember what that looking forward to a new year where we conquer COVID-19 Dormouse said.
In your head and dead on your feet, well, another crazy day. Drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul, and it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. Used to think that it was so.
This hour of programming has been brought to you by WBAI listeners in support of WBAI's Emergency Tower Fund Drive.
It seems as if it's over. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. Doing some overtime here. The program you just heard, Back of the Book, will be back next year. Next year, next week, next month. At 5 a.m.